Hello and welcome to the Self Explained podcast. I'm your host, Katie O'Donohue, the self-care coach. And on this podcast, I'm going to be bringing you through all things relationships, self-love, and mindset. This is a podcast for those looking to elevate their level of consciousness, to increase their self-awareness, so that they can transform the relationship with their self and ultimately transform their life. So for today's show, I have asked my good friend and former coach, Georgia Goodhue, the Pussy Coach, on to talk about her transformation over the past year, her journey, and all things pleasure, desire, cycle power, and wild woman unleashed. So Georgia, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. Your energy always gets me like super buzzy all the time.
Oh, I love that. Yours does too. We're angel sisters together.
Soul sisters.
Yeah.
So if you want to give today's listeners maybe a brief insight into your background, because the last time I had you on was season one, and you identified as fem-powered flow last season, and this time you're the Pussy Coach. So in terms of your transformation, that journey, any breakthroughs, you do you on this show, you know, but anything that you think might help the listeners out there or inspire them to maybe break free from any shame, any fear, any anxiety, and look into their past so that they can rewrite everything, you know, and help their present and progress and move forwards.
Yeah, it's so weird to think that that's who I was last time I was speaking with you. I think for me, it was just, it actually came up like within my cycle. So in like the autumn of my cycle, which is like your premenstrual time, I just like felt this like overwhelming grief. And I was like, what is going on? And I guess I held on to so much like trauma for so long. So like my experiences of sexual trauma from my childhood and my early 20s, in my head, I was just like, I can never like let that go. Like it will just be a part of me forever. And then when it came up within my cycle at that time, it just felt like my body was just like, that's enough, Georgia. You've held on to this for too long. And it's time for you to just let that part of you, not let it go so much, but like open the door to shine some light on it and to gain freedom in that. And that's really like one of the biggest words for me going through that was like the other side of that was so expansive and free, and it felt like the biggest weight had been lifted off me. And I think you get used to like, you know, holding onto things, right? Like you can hold on to like a 100-kilo bag and get used to it after a while. So putting it down, I was like, oh my God, there is so much life after putting this weight down. And it opened up so many different avenues, I think, especially like within my business, and gave me the permission slip I feel like I needed to explore different parts and open up that work with other women.
That's amazing. I mean, I've seen you bloom on social media and like the transformation that you've gone through, and you really inspired me as well to kind of open up my doors a bit more. But it was just amazing to see because you were so like raw and vulnerable in your video that you did on Instagram. I'm going to put a plug in here, the Pussy Coach on Instagram. Check her out. But like even in terms of, you know, I guess liberating yourself as a woman, because, you know, some of your images, a lot of women might look at that and go, oh my God, how is she that much confidence? How can she just own her body like that and put herself out there? It's just so amazing to see. And I'm like, yes, girl, I'm like, light it up, like step into your bedroom. Just awesome. What would you say, you know, to anyone that feels maybe a bit of fear about having difficult conversations or sharing their stories?
Oh, it's a great one because I really kept hold of mine for so long. I was just like grasping onto it with all my might. I think an important thing for me was to like have an intention going into conversations with people. Because I think before in the past when I had like attempted to share anything with anyone, I did it in such like a floodlighting way where, you know, you'd have a few drinks or I'd think I was being vulnerable and I would like throw my trauma at someone And it wasn't even like a big part of my trauma, but like such a small part of my trauma. And so I'd throw it at people and they would, so floodlighting means like you know, sort of like deer in the headlights, right? And they're like looking at you like, what? I don't want to hear this. And so for me, again, I felt like rejected within sharing my trauma, and I felt that like being vulnerable wasn't safe. So really taking back like responsibility for the way I was communicating with people as well, to step out of like that victim mode, to not blame other people for my problems, and to realize my part to play in sharing it. So having an intention to share, to share when you're going into it, and knowing that it doesn't really matter what they're going to say back to me. You know, my intention behind it was just to be witnessed within my trauma, not for someone to fix it for me. Because, you know, they can't. No one else is going to fix whatever's happened to me. I have to, like, save myself within that. So sharing that with people, you know, like, I don't need you to do anything or say anything. I just would like to share this with you. And also, do you have space to hold this for me? Like, I don't want to throw something on you when you're already going through your own thing. So just, yeah, having boundaries and intention behind it when you feel like you're ready to have that conversation, because then it's safety for both people that are, you know, giving and receiving that information.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to have your boundaries when you're sharing something that is quite, you know, traumatic, because it was traumatic what happened to you. And, you know, having that courage to be vulnerable is quite, you know, inspiring, and it's incredibly heartwarming as well at the same time, because you don't see a lot of vulnerabilities out there. You see a lot of, I guess, picture perfect life. People want to pretend that they have it all together. Now, maybe some people do have it all together, and if you do, then amazing. I mean, I know I certainly don't have it all together, but it's so nice to see. Like, when I saw your video, I actually welled up. I got quite emotional because I could really empathize with you. But it was just so nice to see a woman, A, standing up for herself and saying, hey, this is what happened in my life. Life isn't always perfect, but I'm willing to own my story. This is my power. And to say that you're a survivor, you know, not in that victim mentality, you know, the world is against mm-hmm. me. I need someone to come save me. I need someone to come fix me. But in terms of, you know, what it has done for you in terms of, well, say your mindset or even your self-love, do you think it has changed the way that you feel towards yourself?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, it feels like I lost so much trust within myself for so many years. Like, if I look back now, like, I could barely like choose what I wanted to have for dinner, or like choose what ice cream flavor I wanted. And it like invades like so many different parts of your life, not having trust within yourself. So like sort of reflecting back, realizing how much trust I now have, and trust to not only make small decisions but make big decisions. And even like I used to have like quite bad intrusive thoughts every night time about dying. I used to be like terrified of dying. Every night before I went to sleep, I'd be like, oh, lovely, drift off. Oh my God, I'm going to die. And since, and I don't even know where that came from, but since sort of like opening up and like sharing and like lifting that weight off me, there's been so many things that had power and control over my life that have like really just melted away. And I think now it's, my mindset is more giving myself permission to explore so many different parts of me that I've had shame around, and to recognize what shame feels like for me, and to then be strong enough in my vulnerability to share that with people. Like, I know even last year, or the start of this year, like during the last lockdown, I felt so lonely at some point. And for me, because I'd spent so much of my life like being like the positive person, like being the friendly person, like people just, I think, in their mind think that I'm okay all the time. So I feel like sometimes in my head, I feel like it's harder for me to like break that mold down and share that with people. But when I sort of recognized that I felt lonely and that I was feeling shame around feeling lonely, I was like, Georgia, this is your opportunity to share that with people and to, you know, let go of the shame. And when I did, I was like, oh my God, look at me, like having my own back, doing the hard thing and allowing myself to hold myself and be witnessed by other people.
Amazing. And in terms of, you know, I want to touch on this whole element of shame, in particular when it comes to women. Because I was reading a book recently and it was very much about feminism and about how women are objectified. And obviously, you know, in like what's happened in the news in the last couple of months and even like this whole Me Too movement and everything, women do feel a lot of shame around, you know, menstrual cycles, their body, maybe past experiences, maybe their sex life, whatever it is, women carry a lot of shame through their lives. But you actually deal with a lot of the things that women feel shame about, you know, like pleasure, desire, cycles, like the list goes on. I look at your feed and I'm like, oh God, you're killing it. But, you know, in terms of like, I don't know. I mean, the shame around pleasure, for example, because that's something that you talk about. You've done a few ebooks on it too, I've seen. But, you know, where do you think that shame kind of stems from? You know, is it part of our conditioning as a young child, or is it because we're female that we automatically have that within us, do you think? I don't know. I don't even know where my shame about it came from, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's probably not even just, you know, limited to women feeling shame around pleasure, but I think it's such like a scarcity mindset, right, that we have in life in regards to anything, and feeling like we have to always, and I think this is the thing that comes in for women probably more, feeling like we have to do everything and give everything before we give to ourselves. But I think it's also recognizing like the, not just like the big pleasures in life and like physical pleasures, but just like following pleasure in as many, you know, experiences as we can, and following the path of pleasure instead of pressure. And it's just, yeah, I don't even know really where I believe it's come from. It's just a whole pervasive society where you feel like you have to always be like achieving and going and doing, which is like, you know, I guess part of the patriarchy, like that very masculinized way of living of, if you're not doing something, then you're not worthy. And the pressure of doing all the time just takes all of the pleasure away. Like, it's not possible to follow both paths at once.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I find myself getting stuck in that doing all the time, you know, like chasing like certifications or like this kind of masculine success, you know. It's just, it's crazy when you think about it, because we almost deny being a woman in our everyday lives. And then we don't know, you know, why we feel like so disconnected or not in tune with ourselves. And it's because we've just forgotten that feminine energy, I guess it is, for one. And I mean, for me, I mean, part of it started because I know you did menstrual cycles. Part of that stemmed from not being able to openly talk about, you know, having a monthly cycle, for example. And like, I see it all the time in advertisements being taken down from TV, because a tampon advert, you know, it's been advertised at a time that people are saying, oh, young kids are watching it. And I'm like, good, good. They need to be educated. But I mean, like, this whole wild woman unleashed, you know, where does that come from? I want to ask you about this in terms of maybe your wild woman unleashed.
Yes. It's really interesting, because I think like the concept of it has sort of like developed over time for me. And there's definitely like, I think, so there's an amazing book called The Heroine's Journey. And she talks about the sort of like cyclical path that happens where, when we grow up, we tend to see like you said, success is like a very masculine thing. And so we tend to reject a lot of our feminine, you know, ideals throughout that. And then we come back and like we refind the feminine. And I think when I refound the feminine and like I sort of rejected a lot of masculine parts about me, the ideas I had about me then are quite different to the ideas I have about me now. So I think for a little while, like the idea of the wild woman for me was just like rejecting society, like rejecting the patriarchy, giving like a big fuck off to it all, like not wearing makeup or like, you know, not like being angry at men and like being a bit of a raging feminist. But more recently, I've had to realize that there's a big part of me that like loves to be held and supported by the masculine. So I think for me, the wild woman is just me allowing myself to live freely in whatever that means to me. And like throughout our cycles, right, it's so different throughout our cycles. Like there's times in my cycle where like I love being like the good girl and I love like serving and helping and like laying myself on the line and putting myself last, like there's a big part of me that really loves stepping into that archetype. But then there's other parts of my cycle where I'm like, ain't no one talk to me, like leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. No, I'm not going to help you. You can find it out for yourself. Yeah, exactly. So I think the rewilding of us is like finding like our inner part of us that is ever changing, and not like having such low attachment to who we show up as every day. Because as women, it's so different day to day. And I know even for me, my last few cycles have been so different, and I've had resistance to wanting them to be different. Cause I'm like, no, but I know what my cycle looks like now. And like, I know how best to work within my cycle. And when it changes up, you are like, what's going on? But yeah, recognizing that I will change, I'm allowed to change, and I'm getting the gifts that I need each month that are moving me into the next place.
Do you fear changing? I want to touch on this now that you've mentioned the word change. I'm like, oh, there's my trigger. Let's dive in.
Yeah, I don't. There is a huge part of me that has resistance to it, 100%. But the other part of me, I think there's a stronger, like, inner knowing part of me that is like, Georgia, let it go. You can't change the change that's happening to you. And me having resistance to it makes the whole thing again pressurized and like more uncomfortable than it already is to change. So quite a good mantra that I have that I got from Red School, who wrote like the Wild Power book, is holding the tension. Like, as much as I want to fix myself within situations when I'm changing, recognizing that I don't need to be fixed. I just need to hold the tension, hold the discomfort. See what's coming up, and then allow it.
I do want to put a little like disclaimer in here. We're not talking about changing to please other people as well. We're not talking about the good kind of change.
Yes. Definitely not other people.
I know a lot of women might listen to this and be like, I change myself for X person every day, which I have done in the past. You know, I've just been like, oh, they're expecting me to be this person, so I'll just change myself to be this person and just please them and not please myself and deny myself and reject myself just to be who they want me to be. But the good kind of change, the transformational change, the one where you're stepping into your power and unleashing that wild woman.
Yes, exactly. And even on like the idea of changing for other people, I feel like there's such power in us recognizing like the pleasure we get, like the unconscious pleasure we get from doing that, right? And like really allowing us to be like curious as to like, why did I do that? But that was a weird thing for me to do. And like, what was I getting out of that situation from doing that? Because if we always are like, oh my God, I changed myself, I shouldn't have changed myself, let me try and change myself back, we're never allowing ourselves to like, first of all, take responsibility for the things we're doing. And secondly, being like, why do I do that? That's a weird, kinky thing for me to do. There must be some sort of pleasure I'm getting out of that. And to give ourselves permission to look into that a bit further.
I mean, yeah, I think, no, I won't say for most women, but myself personally, I know anytime I kind of changed myself, it was for a need and it was for love or for acceptance or for validation. And, you know, at the end of the day, it came down to, I did not know who I was. I did not love myself and I did not have a healthy self-worth. But yeah, get curious in why you're changing or why to please other people. Like, why are you doing that? What's the reason behind it? What's the motivation? What's the self-fulfilling prophecy at the end of it all? You know? And
yes, 100%. And that takes away the shame again, doesn't it? If we realize we're doing that, we think we shouldn't be doing it, that's when we throw shame on ourselves. And shame just like cuts off connection to yourself, to anyone else, and then nothing can ever, you know, be altered from that space, because you're just like popping it in a box, throwing the lid on, putting a bunch of sand on top and being like, I'm not going to deal with that.
No. And that's where like your anxiety comes from then, you know, if you're
just
refusing to, I guess, shine the light on that box and say, oh, what's been, you know, kept in here for X amount of times, trying to, you know, dust it out a bit and scoop it out again and just, you know, deal with it. Because it's very hard to not deal with these things and to just let it be. It's the easier option, I guess. People think it's the easier option, but in the long term, it's not. And you probably know
the most. It's short term comfort for long term dysfunction.
Hey, we've been there, we've done it, we're fine now.
Oh my god, 100%. And like, just facing your discomfort, holding yourself within the discomfort, it doesn't feel good, it feels horrible, like it doesn't, but it allows you to totally not even transform, but like let go of all the shit that you've been holding on to that doesn't serve you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's probably a myth though that people think growth equals pleasure, but actually weight growth can actually be painful too, you know. But you can grow through pain.
100%.
But in terms of, you know, your transformation, is there anything that you think, you know, our listeners today should know about? Because I'm running out of questions. I haven't prepped this podcast. I've just been winging it.
I love it. What to know about transformation? I think it's sort of recognizing that you're not necessarily a different person, and all those experiences that happen to you, they're not gone, they haven't gone away, but it's taking, I guess, ownership over the things that have happened to us and recognizing. So I'm doing this year, as I mentioned before, Red School, I'm doing their menstruality leadership program, and they were talking about menarche this week, which is like our first bleed. And they were saying that if your experience was like a bit of a traumatic experience or a hard experience for you, recognizing that like that experience was like an ingredient in like the alchemizing of who you are today. Like it's not. And I think for me, my trauma for so long was just like the main ingredient. Like it had such a power over me. And I know for me, like it wasn't necessarily there every day, but when other things went wrong, like if it was like a relationship breakdown or like something else that was happening was bad, it would always be like snowballing back to that memory and that experience. Whereas now it's just recognizing that's like a smaller part of my story. It's still an ingredient. It's still there. Still made me the person I am, but it doesn't have the control and power over me anymore. So, and like you said, it's not always pleasurable, but I think for me, like joy and grief just like run alongside each other. You can't have one without the other. And you're not truly going to experience like full joy and full pleasure unless you've allowed yourself to also experience the, you know, the flip side of that, the shadow side of that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just always have, we'll say, the highs. You know, there has to be a dip sooner or later, but you just got to make sure you can manage that dip and cope with it and sit with it and allow it to come up and hold space for it, or have someone hold space for you so that you can feel it, you know, if you need that support.
Yes, that is it. And like they say, like the masculine and the feminine, which like we all have within us, right? The masculine is like the riverbed and the feminine is the river. So for me, like holding my grief or holding like my emotions is like my masculine, like really holding that container for it to be witnessed and for it to flow where it needs to flow and just let it out. There's no longer a dam at the top that's stopping it all from running down. It's just freedom to flow out into the world.
I really like that analogy. Is that the right word? Now I'm like, oh my god, I don't even know if
that's the right word. That is, it is.
But yeah, that's a really good analogy for it, because I haven't thought of it like that. But now that you say it, like, yeah, flow. And that was one of my words. I actually had a Reiki session with Siobhan, which is another coach, and you'll have her on the we'll have her on the podcast in another episode. But you know, one of those words was flow. And I was like, flow, what does flow mean? Like, why do I need to flow? And then I realized, whoa, masculine. I'm too masculine. I keep doing. And now I need to like reel it back. But it's so hard to go into the flow as a woman. You know, I feel guilty sometimes.
Yeah. But again, it's like, right, like going into that guilt, right? Being like, what, where is that coming from? Like, why does that come up for me? And I think that analogy is so beautiful as well, because if you didn't have the riverbed, right, then the feminine flow would just gets like expanded and like sucked into the earth. Like it can't go anywhere. And if you only have the masculine and no river, Like, it's just a bit dry and barren. There's no juiciness flowing through there. There's nothing to weave and to fill up that space. So we definitely need both of them.
In terms of maybe tips for today's listeners, in terms of how to be in flow, what would be your best advice? You know, if you, let's say, wake up one day and you just decide today's not a day that you're going to be doing.
I love the days where I just like allow my, like, even if it's for a walk, right? Like a nature walk, having no plan of where you're going, but allowing like your senses to take over. Like, what do my eyes like to look at? And like, what is that drawing me towards? Maybe it's a smell. Maybe it's like a feeling. Maybe it's, and like our body holds so much like of our magic and our power and our pleasure. And so recognizing, you know, that we can choose to listen to our bodies and follow that along and not always, again, follow the path of pressure. So flow, I think, for me is just feeling into what I want to do and then, you know, the masculine taking me towards that.
Amazing. Thank you. I'm going to take note of that because I'm like, I'm still like struggling to get into my flow. You're too masculinated, or was that even a word? Oh my goodness, I'm making up another blooper.
But it's just, yeah, listening to your body, listening to, and getting into like your, like, sensuality, right? It's just like listening to your senses, you know, dancing or moving in a way that feels good for you, like following your pleasure in terms of like your beauty in like your environment or how you look, or yeah, whatever feels good for you. Listening to your pussy.
Yeah, I was like, girl, waiting for it. I was like, come on, give me a punchline.
And that's what it is. And I think that's sort of like a thing I've always passed on to like my clients or my audience, is that I don't give other people advice because that's like what my pussy wants to do. Like, I'm on my own ladder climbing up it, and I'll help you find your ladder and you can climb up your ladder. That's where your pussy wants to go. But they're probably going to be, there's going to be similarities, but there's going to be big differences as well.
Yeah. I mean, no one's life journey is going to be the same as someone else's at the end of the day. No one's pussy journey is going to be the same.
No, exactly. And we all like have our beautiful part to play and like, you know, expanding and making conscious this world. And so we all have a different path to follow.
Yeah, a different life experience to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. And like what you're bringing from your past and what you're wanting to create for your future, and creating again like from a place of desire, like what turns me the fuck on? That's what I want to follow. Not what like this frontal area of my brain wants me to create, because that often is, you know, riddled with self-doubt or like comparison or trying to do other things that other people are doing. So I know if I follow my pussy, she's going to lead me in the right direction. Sometimes it's a bit slower than following my brain. I have to take time to reflect and to allow what's coming up to come up, but having trust within that process.
That's amazing, Georgia. Oh, Georgia, I say your name wrong too. But honestly, like, if you want to give her a follow on Instagram, the Pussy Coach, she's hugely inspirational. Just if you want to feel connected to your body, get your cycle power back, you know, lift any shame around being a woman, essentially, and unleash that wild woman, then check her out, because I think I'm going to wrap up today's show. I haven't got any more questions for you popping into my head. I'm like, I guess this is flowing right now, right?
That's it, my love. We are in feminine flow.
I'm going to say thank you for coming on the show, Georgia.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's just always a pleasure to speak to you, my love.
And I'll have you on any other time that you want to come on if you're like, I have this topic. Oh my God.
Oh God, we could dive deep, my love, into any of them.
But I mean, we won't today because I know people will be like, whoa, this is a lot of information. But
yeah.
If you're to take anything away from the show, Georgia, what would you say to take away from today's episode?
Ooh, something I've been sharing with people lately is to stop treating yourself like the dregs of like a coffee cup or the dregs of like a beer. Like, we deserve to take the first sip for ourselves and to like savor it and to really enjoy it and to not always, you know, put ourselves at the bottom of the barrel. We deserve to be that first delicious taste of whatever it is.
Yeah, maybe it's the glass of champagne, you know? Who knows?
That is it. We don't want that gross, like warm, like spitty bit at the bottom.
No. Or a bottle that's been open and never used.
Exactly. We want to put ourselves first and savor that and enjoy the pleasure of the first sip before we let anyone else have a taste of us.
Amazing. Well, everyone, you know where to find her, my girl.
Come join me.
Thank you once again, Georgia.
Thank you, my love. I'll speak to you soon.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Always.